Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and H1 FY 2026 results conference call of Bajaj Flight Studio Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sakshi Panjwani. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Bajaj Flight Studio Limited. From management team, we have Mr. Balakrishnan, Managing Director and CEO, Ms. Sogalakshmi, President, Business Strategy and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Gaurav Mehra, Chief Financial Officer. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Balakrishnan for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. It is a privilege to welcome you all to Bajaj Flight Studio's Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. On behalf of our leadership team and our 700+ talented artists across Chennai, Pune, London, Paris, and Vancouver, I extend our gratitude for your continued confidence in our journey. I am delighted to report that Bajaj Flight has delivered a strong performance in H1 FY 2026 with revenue of over 190.5 crores, up 146% year-on-year, and PAT of 26.8 crores, up 117% year-on-year, reflecting both the consolidation of overseas acquisitions and robust growth across domestic and international markets. Our EBITDA margin stood at 20.3%, and we have strengthened our liquidity position with a net cash surplus of 48.3 crores following our successful QIP of 83 crores. We are pleased to share another strong half-year performance, one marked by disciplined execution, technology-led transformation, and global expansion. We began FY 2026 with a clear strategy to strengthen our delivery network, accelerate technology integration, and prepare for the next phase of scale. I am pleased to share that we have made significant progress on each of these fronts. Our integration with OneOffice is now fully complete and is yielding visible synergies. The subsidiary secured 265 crores in new wins and delivered projects worth 37 crores during H1 from these new wins, supported by deep creative collaboration and cross-studio workflow alignment. The Bengaluru team started deliveries effective October 2025, enhancing our offshore capacity and positioning us strongly to leverage the India cost advantage in global production. From the India side, apart from our consistent pipeline of international projects, we have also expanded into premium Indian content. We are actively engaging with Netflix and Amazon on key high-end Indian originals that demand sophisticated visual storytelling. I am delighted to share that we have recently partnered with Netflix on one of their projects as an initial initiative to produce South Indian originals as a VFX partner. This collaboration stands as a true testament to the reputation, trust, and creative confidence we have built within the industry. We are also in active discussions on other premium Indian projects as well, further strengthening our domestic footprint in the high-end content space. On the innovation front, we have also advanced our modular USD pipeline with the initiative. Phase one was successfully completed in March 2025, while phase two focused on real-time multi-site asset interoperations is on track for completion by end of FY 2026, Q1 FY 2027. This milestone will redefine how our international and Indian teams collaborate, making our production network more seamless, scalable, and efficient for larger and complex projects. Our leadership bandwidth continues to expand with the onboarding of senior global business development and operational leaders across key markets, especially the appointment of Adrian DeWitt, an industry veteran with credits in Harry Potter, Matrix, and Hunger Games as VFX supervisor and creative director. He's based out of Los Angeles, marks a major leap in our North American presence. We are also delighted to welcome Audrey Ferreira to our London team as an art director. Audrey comes from a highly reputed background with strong credentials and experience as a favorite creative partner for Disney on the Tenfold project. Her addition strategically strengthens our creative leadership in Europe, positions us more favorably for premium feature projects, and brings deep insight into expectations of major studios, further differentiating Bajaj Flight and OneOffice in the global market. the recently completed 85 crore QIP has fortified our balance sheet and will be strategically deployed towards technology innovation, delivery expansion, and selective inorganic growth. Our transition to main board compliance reflects our maturity as an organization ready for its next target. I am also thrilled to share that our short film called Shutterback, for which the Dyslexia Studio served as the sole VFX partner, has qualified for the Oscars this year. Our team worked closely with the filmmaker throughout this process, shaping the film's visual identity through a deep collaborative process. This achievement is not just a creative milestone, but also part of our ongoing effort to identify, support, and build relationships with next generation of visionary filmmakers who could become tomorrow's leading voices in global cinema. The Oscar qualification stands as a testament to our commitment to facilitate creative storytelling for upcoming talent in this direction. As the VFX and content industry rapidly evolves, our focus is not simply to follow trends, but to future-proof our business. Our strategic initiatives and investments built on the foundation of the Dyslexia and Oscars are helping us to stay at the very high end of the creative spectrum. This enables us to differentiate meaningfully in a crowded market, offering capabilities, scale, and artistic excellence that many others cannot match. Our current engagements, including a major Disney feature and potentially one of Warner Bros.' all-time big projects at a larger scale and higher pedigree, which we are currently working on than what could be in the previous years of our work, reflect both our creative and technical capability and the gap in the market that we are uniquely positioned to fill. These projects are tangible evidence of where we fit in the high-end segment and the continent's previous place in our views globally. The global visual effects market, size of $10.60 billion in 2024, estimated at $11.19 billion in 2025, and is anticipated to reach around $20.29 billion by 2034, expanding at a CAGR of 6.83% from 2025 to 2034. High-quality visual effects are in greater demand in several industries, including virtual reality, gaming, advertising, cinema, and television, based on the research report on the industry. Across India, the last 2 years, many states such as Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, Karnataka, Telangana, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, and Rajasthan have been actively promoting film and VFX production through a range of policies to promote the respective state as AVGP XRF in the country. These initiatives complement our India delivery network, allowing us to efficiently scale high-end production while benefiting from policy-driven advantages. The broader industry landscape is showing increasing signs of revival, with major streaming platforms resuming content investment and tax incentives in the UK and France spurring production volumes. Coupled with rapid advances in AI, virtual production, real-time rendering, the global VFX system is entering a new era, one where art and technology converge like never before. Dyslexia is uniquely positioned to lead in this environment. Our hybrid model, marrying creative excellence in global studios with the scale and efficiency of our India backbone, has created a differentiated value proposition that clients increasingly prefer. Looking ahead, our focus under Vision 2026 remains clear: to scale offshore capacity, deepen technology integration, nurture leadership and talent, and expand our global reach for diversified markets. Our ambition is to build a multi-location AI-enabled creative powerhouse that defines the future of digital storytelling. This is an exciting and transformative chapter for the Dyslexia Studio. I thank our investors, clients, and partners for the trust, and our teams for the relentless creativity and commitment in this journey. And I would like to pass it on to Gaurav for his comments.
Thank you, Bala. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for our earnings call. It's my pleasure to connect with you all to talk about the business and financial performance for H126 for this week flight to you. Before I dive into the number, I would like to take your attention towards emerging landscape for the VFX and the key steps taken by the Dyslexia to capitalize emerging opportunity and sustain industry challenges. While on the one side, we do foresee the production going unprecedented level. The other side, we do foresee on the overseas studio pressure on the pricing and on the margins. As the management briefly talked about in earlier discussions as well, there is a good volume and high momentum in the production across all production houses, and production houses are going big bang for their spend for FY 2026 in overall. We are taking few major steps to capitalize the emerging opportunity. To call out the major ones, we have strengthened our business development team significantly for our primary U.K. market as well as for targeted new geographies of North America. Over last one quarter, four well-renowned industry leaders got associated with us for the business development role. Adrian DiVetti and Teresa joined us in Los Angeles for North America market. Audrey and Mariana joined us for the London market. Adrian credentials. In his three decades of the experience, he was associated with the mega projects such as the Harry Potter, Matrix Reloaded, Hellboy II, Goblet of Fire. Teresa joined us as Business Development Director for North America. Audrey's signature projects are Mufasa: The Lion King, The Jungle Book, Aliens: The Covenant. Mariana joined us for the U.K. and Europe market as Business Development Director. Moving on to the next point, we shared that our bidding volume reached to the level of GBP 40 million in our 8 October press release. We won 265 crores new winning in H1 2026 and delivered 15% already by now. Rest is phased out for FY 2026 and FY 2027. Likewise, as Bala also mentioned, we have strengthened our ops team also onboarding five industrial leaders across India and overseas. Second major steps, we are driving capabilities, enhancement, efficiency, and productivity by investment in technology. Phase one was successfully completed way back in March 2025. Phase two, covering the development of a modular USD, that is Universal Scheme Description for scalable, efficient, and the multi-asset interoperability is underway and on the track for completion by June 2026. As we talk, we are unfolding the next phase of offshoring transition by building the Bengaluru branch. Team already started the delivery with effect from the October onward. I will brief the financial updates now. I will share the standalone performance first, followed by the consolidated results detailing. India standalone results brief. India standalone reported very strong results for H1 in terms of YoY comparison. India standalone clocked the total income of 55.5 crore, YoY growth of  1.6x. Last year was 35.1 crore. And this covers two-thirds of last full year of the revenue in the H1 itself. India standalone reported PAT of 17.2 crore, which is YoY 1.6x, and it covers 94% of the last full year PAT. Increased revenue and volumes have supported better employee utilization and overhead recovery, driving increased PAT margins percentage of 31% for H1 2026. Revenue growth for India was driven by the new wins and better volumes from increased production by the global production houses. Consolidated results brief. For the first half FY 2026, the total income is stood at 190.5 crores, making it 146% year-on-year growth. EBITDA rose by 107% YoY to 38.7 crore, representing a margin of 20.3%, while PAT grew by 117% YoY to the level of 26.8 crore, translating a margin of 14%. Balance sheet key numbers brief. Surplus fund position. QIP unutilized fund reflect strong bank balance and surplus positions on September 2025. positioning Basilisk Fly Studio to unlock next phase of the growth by inorganic and organic expansion. Subsidiary collections are on target. India also received approximately 16% of March 2025 aged receivable. Old receivable recovery is slower to the target level, as not all the foreign studios are back to the pre-strike level, but we are making the gradual progress, and we collected 16% in the current financial year of the aged receivable. Consolidated DSO increased by 19 days in H1 2026. DSO is better in H1 year-over-year, but increase in HoH because of the revenues gap, which is because of the seasonality impact. Now, I will read out the financial results. H1 2026 consolidated financial results are: revenue 109.5 crore versus 77.4 crore last year H1, growth of 146.3% YoY. EBITDA 38.7 crore versus 18.7 crore last year H1, growth of 107% YoY. PAT 26.8 crore versus 12.3 crore last year H1, growth of 117.1% YoY. PAT margin percentage 14% versus 15.9% last year H1, dip of 189 basis points. Earning per share rupees 10.2 per share versus rupees 5 per share last year H1, growth of 104.5% YoY. DSO 92 days versus 190 days last year H1, reduced by 98 days. OCF negative for the H1 2026, 17.1 crore versus positive 3 crore last year H1, gap of 20.1 crore, primarily due to the peak revenue towards the end of the H1 results, resulting increase of 23 crore of no due receivable. Overall, our financial trajectory is reflecting robust revenue growth and gradual margin improvement. As we enter the second half, our focus remains threefold: restoring and improving subsidiary margin, maintaining cash discipline and liquidity strength, and driving operational excellence through automation and technology integration. Basilisk Fly Studio stands on solid ground financially and operationally to sustain growth, enhance profitability, and create enduring shareholder value. Thank you for your continued support and confidence in our journey. We now look forward to an engaging discussion with all of you. Over to Kiran team for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shikhar Mundra from Commercial LTD. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats on a good set of numbers. I want to understand, why is there seasonality in this business? I mean, why should we expect the H2 to be much better than H1?
Hi, Shikhar. This is Bala. If you compare H1 and H2, particularly around H2, that is where the major features get released around the June, July summer release. That is where we will have much of work between, if you take January to April and bit of May, that is where we will have bulk of these deliveries getting delivered for these movies to get released. If you take September and October, again, a bit of phase where it would be busier. By November and December, Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday, it won't be much major feature, but there will be some level of mid-budget movies and episodics will be released or would come in for streaming platform during this time. That is the reason H2 is always better because it is very much clustered around for the summer release.
All right. Got it. What kind of revenues are we targeting for H2, and what is the current order book we have, which is to be executed in H2?
Currently, we do have about 228 crore of outstanding wins, which 267 is a winning order, and out of which 37 crores we have already delivered in the H1, and H2 we have a remaining 228 crores, which would be spilling over from until June, July.
Okay. And apart from this, I mean, so 228 crores entire will be built H2 itself?
No, it would be spilled over by June, July. It would be spilling over to the first quarter of next year.
Right. And so we are aiming for roughly around 200 crores of revenue in H2 itself, based on this.
Sorry, couldn't get you.
So what kind of revenues are we targeting for H2? And I mean, much beyond 200 crores then?
H2, we are aiming at somewhere similar and better than what it would be in H1. It would be much better. It would be better than H1.
I mean, so are we expecting new order wins as we go around, which will be executed in H2? Because this current order book means we'll be only matching H1. So, I mean, how are we sure of, you know, doing it? I mean, getting H2 numbers significantly better than H1. That's what I'm trying to understand.
I will take up that question, Mr. Shekhar. So, we are not saying that H2 will be significantly better than the H1. What Bala was saying, generally the VFX work across industry is higher in terms of volume in H2 versus H1. Coming to how we look forward at the H2 performance, at this point of the visibility, if we go with the current run rate, we will very comfortably reach to the 400 crores as we clock 190 crore in the H1. With the new bids going on currently and the production scheduling is still getting finalized, we also expect H2 to be slightly better than the H1. So we expect to, we may fall into the range of close to 400 to 450 crores. That's the guidance, but we still strive for the original target, higher target of up to 500 crores.
Got it. And one thing I want to understand, why was there not a increase in margins, PAT margins in H1 compared to the H2 last year? Because I believe we have started offshoring the work already. So that synergy should start reflecting somewhere in the numbers. So why are we not seeing that increase in margins yet?
I will answer it to the two parts. So when you see the increase in the margin, you should see the offshoring business standalone financial. So if you see standalone financials margin, last year, full year PAT margin is stand at 24.5% or the 25% to be approximately. H1, we stand at 31%. There is a significant improvement into the standalone margin. When you see the overall console, it's a combination of overseas business and India business. As we touch upon in opening remarks, in the overseas business, there is a pricing pressure as the production is coming up, but many of the studios do have the available capacity. There is some pricing pressure and we are building our business development team to come over to that, winning the more niche projects which are better priced. But as we talk about in the H1, there is definitely pressure, and that's where our overseas subsidiary margin has taken some sorts of the shrinkage, which is impacting the console margin. But it's very marginal. It's not material at all in my evaluation. So we stand at the 13.7 versus 14.9 of the last year. And as I said, that H2 is always better. When H2 comes, that will give the uplift in the better employee utilization, better overhead observation, and uplift the overall margin. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, the question answered, but with offshoring coming into picture now, let's say next year, I mean, what kind of improvement in margins we can expect for the whole company as a whole, console level?
I think in the near future, we do foresee it to be the aim to target it above 30% or around the 30% as a sustainable one. Because while we talk about in parallel, we are doing the investment for the expansion that will offset to certain extent. So in the near future, we see 30% PAT, which is a quite significant and from the industry perspective.
Got it. So, but not a significant jump in margins we see in the near future. I mean, even with the offshoring.
It can be gradually as we are opening the Bengaluru branch that is helping to move the high-end role, which will also add a pie, but those all processes are gradual.
And if you
and as I said, we... Yeah.
And how many are we planning to add in the Bangalore? Yeah.
That's
Hello?
Going to be... So the Bangalore expansion, Bangalore is already... Delivery has already been started for the Bangalore, from the Bangalore team. And we expect it to be ramp up very fast, reaching to the level of within the financial year 50 plus.
Got it. Got it. And one last question. I mean, with this QIP fundraise already done, so are we working on some acquisition, which is an RVP, I mean, any timing for the same?
Yeah, we are actively working on some acquisitions since we've been actively discussing with two to three players in the industry. And our main lookout is to diversify into North American market is one thing. And apart from that, not only traditional film and TV, we are also looking at immersive experience and advertisements for brands. So that is an area where we wanted to cover with this new acquisition. So these are the things which we've been working on, and we are looking forward to find a suitable player out of these three whom we are actively discussing.
Got it, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viraj from MoneyGrow. Please go ahead.
Hi, Bala, Yogalakshmi and Gaurav. Congratulations on fantastic results and meaningful progress since your IPO 3 years ago. A couple of questions at my end. One is the Indian government has come out with incentives for VFX outsourcing into India. So do your H1 numbers reflect any of this government incentive coming in? And is more expected or any expected in H2?
Hi, Viraj. This is Bala. We are exploring that, and so far in H1, there isn't any incentive being included, which we haven't really explored or utilized in H1. But we've been exploring this with the four teams and trying to see, and we are having some positive discussions around it where we can able to utilize this fund for our future income and revenues. Particularly, we are very well positioned because this is for overseas IP particularly. And since we have all of our based out of UK, and we have our contracts directly coming from the overseas IP content owners. So in that case, we would be able to qualify, and which we would really practically be able to
do. To add on what Bala
expected in H2?
It's hard to quantify the amount, Mr. Viraj, but as Bala mentioned, and as you know, that accounting for any incentive or the government grant is on the receipt basis, not on the accrual basis. So while we are into the advanced stage of the discussions of the Big Four to take it forward, submit our eligibility, start the process of the evaluation, not necessarily we may get the grant get credited into the H2. Coming to the tune, it may, with the current visibility, it may go to the size of 2.5 to 3 crore value on the annual basis. As we grow the offshoring, we are talking about Bangalore expansion, we are doing the expansion in Chennai and all, the amount will grow gradually.
Understood. Secondly, is, you know, Netflix is looking to set up a new VFX delivery center in Hyderabad. Is this a threat that they are one of your key clients?
Actually, we see this as an opportunity because Netflix already has an office in Mumbai, in which where they kind of greenlit and set up VFX units there to run those projects in Mumbai. So far we have Netflix produced projects, originals from Mumbai based originals. But now they are also focusing towards South Indian originals. As also I mentioned in my commentary note, we are currently engaged in one of the projects, which is again the initiative to produce South Indian originals. So I think they are more focused towards region-wise production, content production. So that is where we will be able to participate. Yeah.
I will read it.
This office could still technically outsource work to you, the Hyderabad office of South Indian production. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. That is where we set up really focus on green rating projects, setting process, and working with vendors.
Understood. Why were operating cash flows weak in the first half? Was it a timing of collections issue? I think in the deck you alluded to a lot of these projects kicking off in July, August, September. So do we expect a meaningful collections in the second half of the year to reduce the receivable days, which are currently at 100, 108 odd, and meaningful operating cash flow for the entire year closed FY 2026?
I will take up that question, Mr. Agarwal, and I would also like to take your attention toward the slide number 26, the mark in our investor presentation. So for the H1, we stand at 17 crores of the negative operating cash flow. This is primarily because of the high volume happens towards the tail end of the H1. As we talk about that, we stand at 29 crore rupees of the debtor, which is not due the sale which has happened either in the start of the September or towards the end of the September. If you take out that 29 crore impact from that increase, then you will be actually the positive compared to the negative number. That's what it is driving the change.
Understood. And how about your old receivables, you know, the overdue receivables, Bala, from the prior years, which we were working on collecting, that's fully collected, the old overdue receivables?
We made a good progress on that, Mr. Viraj. In fact, we have collected a sizable amount. I will not say very substantial, but a sizable amount into the current H1, approximately to the tune of the 15% to 16% of the old receivables. It's coming gradually. I will say from the timing perspective, not as fast as we expected. There are some timing, but it's coming gradually. The positive news is from our perspective that it started coming, which was almost stuck earlier, and they were saying that they cannot start immediately. We got a sizable amount of close to 8.5 crores in the current year from that.
Right. So you say 8.5 crores is 15%. So how much is still balanced to be collected, and will this likely be done by year end?
No. So I'm talking about that what we have disclosed into the March financial. So if you see the March financial, we stand at close to 52 crores. That's the number I was talking about. 15%.
Understood. So you have about 45 crores still remaining. Is that right?
From the old one, which will, as I said, that it will come over gradually as we move forward. Yeah.
Okay. About 45 crores, which you're hoping to collect in the next, I don't know, 6 to 9 months, can we assume?
It's very hard to say put the timeline, but we are really pushing it very hard to make it happen as soon as possible.
Understood. Understood, Mr. Mehra. Sorry, I have a few more questions if I can ask them, or should I get back in the queue?
Thank you.
Okay.
The next question comes from the line of Chandra from Finn Avenue Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Chandra, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have just a few like basic questions. So I wanted to understand.
Mr.
You know,
Chandra, sorry to interrupt. You need to increase your volume.
Hello.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
Can you? Am I audible now?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So I wanted to understand. So we operate in different verticals under the whole entertainment section, also like in films or in episodic contents and like. In commercial, so I wanted to understand, you know, what's the average project size and, you know, like how has that evolved post the one of us acquisition?
Yeah, sure, right. Hi, Chandra. Hi, this is Bala. And in terms of project value size for one of us, as in for direct contract, any project size would range average size be between 1.5 as a minimum range, and the maximum the range it can go up to 5 to 7 million tons at this current level per project. And if you take from India subcontinent, it's at much lesser level, it would be between 50,000 to 100,000 as well for projects, because you will be working on multiple projects with multiple clients in India. So that is how it would be very different with India comparison. But overseas, this is how the range is between 1.5 to, we can go up to 7 also. 7 million pounds.
So, you know, like, I want to understand how many concurrent projects can, you know, we do across our infrastructures, and like, what's the utilization rate in the different geographies that you're operating in, that is India, UK and Canada?
If you take in UK, there could be at least 5 to 6 projects that can go concurrently in UK. And in India, we would be handling over 35 to 40 projects at a time, which would be for multiple different clients for subcontract work and also direct work as well in India.
Alright, so since, you know, we are operating under so many geographies, do we have, like, let's say in the US or somewhere else, a popular representative of sorts, or, you know, someone that can help us acquire bigger projects?
Sorry, I couldn't get you. Could you please come here?
Yeah, like, you know, we are operating in the whole western part of the globe, so I wanted to understand if you could shed some light on the fact, you know, like, if we have some sort of a BD team or maybe, you know, like, some sort of a popular representation in the west for our studios to really stand apart.
You mean business development?
Yeah.
Yeah, business development, for example, we do have creative directors in LA, and if you take Adrian David, who came recently on board, he is operating out of LA, who has very much good connections with the studio side, like Warner Brothers, Walt Disney, Netflix. He has been, Adrian David used to be a client for one of us earlier, and since he come on board, he will have the high level connections across studios, and likewise, we have recently got Marianne Spite as well for London. And she also comes from a rich background, like she has worked in the past for companies like MPC, DNX, Scanlane again, and like these kind of higher, bigger, larger studios. So they do have these connections, and there is again in LA. So we do have around 6 to 7 strong team members across LA and London who have close connections with the bigger studio network.
Alright, that's great to hear. And what is our, you know, like, client retention rate across the different verticals that we are operating in? That would be, I believe, streaming, films and commercials. And, you know, like, is the retention concentrated in one of them, or, like, do all our clients, you know, they are, like, equally retained throughout the segment?
If you take client retention, it is the process where, for example, every other supervisor is driven by supervisors and executives, and also the portfolio that we have delivered, that is kind of portfolio that we have done in the past, kind of projects. So based on which we used to have repeat clients. For example, Netflix, we have 50% of revenue this year, and likewise the past, we have considerable percentage of revenue would come from Netflix, and likewise one of others, and this will all come in very closer as well. So we continue to work on these high-end projects. And also in terms of retention, for example, if we are working on any series for that matter, we get to work on, for example, now we are working on a bigger project for Warner Brothers, where it is 8 straight seasons, it will go on towards 8 straight seasons, which means 8 years, where we will be getting to have an opportunity to work on all those 8 seasons as well. So this is the kind of opportunity that we get on to, and also as the retention based upon the kind of contribution that we will start from season one, so where we will be taken for each season. Hope that does. Hope it is clear for you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourselves to 2 questions. The next question comes from the line of Mahesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir, you are audible to us. Proceed with your question.
Yeah, so in the investor presentation, you mentioned that the negative OCF H1 was primarily due to 29 crores of no due debtors, right? So, and demand picking up in August and September. I guess you even mentioned it in the call. But when I look at the quarterly sales, they were similar in Q1 and Q2, and at the same time, receivables have also increased, like from 77 crores to 112 crores. Can you please help reconcile this? And also, does this effectively mean that you have additional receivables build up of 73 crores this half?
Mr. Mahesh, when I was saying there is a 29 crore comparison, I was referring to the H1 to H1 comparison compared to the March. When you calculate the cash flow for the H1 period, there is a sizable amount of the non-receivables toward the end. You're right, that our overall sales remains the same, but if you see the India versus overseas, you will see more business in the standalone into the Q2 quarter. This receivable more belongs from the India business, while the overseas, they have the, their client as a premium client, Netflix, Amazon, where they get it paid timely. Q1 is more towards the overseas business, and Q2 is more towards the India business, which has accumulated towards the end of the year. I hope that helps.
Right. Okay. So I can see an increase in DSO also, and build up in receivables. So I know that the industry is reviving and there's a strong demand going on, but it still seems a little bit concerning, like especially your company continues to operate with both debt and equity funding. So could you please elaborate on your roadmap to, like, you know, achieve consistent positive operating cash flow? Because last year, I guess you did second half, you did positive operating cash flow, and your DSOs are also going up. So how do you try, what are you planning to keep it under control by the company? And this is an industry lag, you know, with DSOs and receivables build up, right? I don't want the company to go through the same thing. So do you have any other, you know, focus on that?
So, there are two parts to this, and we should see it from the two perspective, India business separate and the overseas business separate. So if you refer to the DSO positions into the India business, where there was some kind of a trade receivables was accumulated, you can see there is a significant improvement, and I'm referring to the slide number 38, which talks about the standalone DSO. So there is a reduction of 52 days DSO in the current half year as compared to the last half year. March positions, as I said, we have recovered some sizable amount or either I compared to the corresponding last year. Now, the overall consolidated DSO has been increased. We mentioned into the March, that March we were able to push the customer and that the money which was due into the month of April, we were fortunate to get it received on the 31st of the March itself. So there was a 30-40 crore better collection, which was kind of a no due happening to the month of March, and it improved the position from the last year end. But there is a slight improvement into the India one. As you said, 52 is a very sizable number of improvement in DSO, and positive part is that those aged receivables started coming gradually. So we hope it should reduce here onward gradually, and it may take some time, but it should be behind us in a way.
With the current total number of employees and the current resources which you have, considering the working capital required, what is the total amount of revenue you can generate in a given year? Like, let's say, working at 100% capacity. I know it's very difficult to put a number on that, but still, I just want to get an idea about how big the company is in terms of, you know, delivering works.
So, it varies from the period to period. If I take it at the 100%, I think my broader number, we should be able to deliver in the range of the 550 crore-600 crore. I'm talking about overseas and that all put together.
Right. Okay, okay. Yeah. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Mahesh.
Yeah. Thank you, Gaurav.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viraj from MoneyGrow. Please go ahead.
Hi, question is the company looking to institute an ESOP plan for the senior management to create incentivization to generate value for all shareholders?
I will take up that question, Mr. Viraj. Definitely we are evaluating that. Having said that, as if now board hasn't approved anything. We have already given some share, kind of the shares to our employees at the time of original listing, and we always look forward for such participation with the employees as well as strategy partner. It's there in the management strategy, but as if not nothing on the immediately on the table. Yeah.
Yeah. And also we are looking to evaluate this after our next level of acquisition.
Sorry, can you repeat that, Bala? The line is terrible from the management. Sorry for that.
Is it clear now?
No, line is very bad. Please go ahead.
Okay, I was just trying to say that we are also assessing this on our next acquisition as well. So once that is, we are closer to that, and also when we are accomplished that, we would be able to come up with for overall.
So y'all are, sorry, I couldn't hear that at all. So y'all are planning to put in place an ESOP scheme?
Yes, yes. Planning it, but it would be at a different place. Yeah.
Understood. Is given the services nature of the business, with fixed asset turns anywhere between 10 to 20 times, high growth that you're talking about, and hopefully cash generative with the incremental receivables coming in, can you send the board or the company consider putting in place a dividend and buyback policy? Because the way I look at it is, if your receivables come down and you deliver growth you're talking about over the next 1 to 2 years, not only will you generate a significant amount of cash, be significantly net cash on your balance sheet, and can you consider returning some of this cash to shareholder enhancing initiatives through dividends or buybacks?
Definitely, Mr. Viraj, we are evaluating that, and we will look forward to be in a position to do some distribution. Having said that, the property focus remain at this point of the time into the expansion. When I say that the money whatever we have raised, the CIP also, that's the partial amount what we have raised, we have to the acquisition maybe of a bigger size than the money allocated into the CIP funding, and the rest of the M&A equity investment will be from internal accrual. So,
understood. Yeah. I appreciate that. Check to the acquisition. Subject to you delivering revenue growth and subject to collecting receivables, if there's incremental cash, then you would consider a dividend buy and buyback policy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Excellent. My next question is regarding the acquisition, Mr. Mehra. Can you give us a sense of how large an acquisition would this be in terms of revenue range? Even if you're giving a pretty broad range, are we talking about an acquisition of a company doing 1,500 crore top line, more? Can you give us some color?
We are evaluating multiple options at this point of the time, Viraj, and it ranges from the small ticket to the bigger ticket. So what we are evaluating, what is the best enterprise value? If we do the smaller one, then definitely we look forward for another one. The size what we are talking about, that ranges into the range from close to 250 to the 400 crore range. And it depends, as I said, that the larger size has a thin profit while the smaller size has the higher margin return. So yes, everything goes all in the panel. Hopefully we should have more visibility by the time we connect for the next quarter.
Fantastic. My last question is, are all costs baked in to achieve this guidance of potential, you know, 600 crore top line per year capacity without the acquisition in the next few years, i.e. do you need to hire any more employees, or from here on are we just talking about inflation linked pay raises and the rest is really operating leverage based on higher pay?
There's a 550 to 600 crore number which I respond to Mr. Mahesh, that was from the perspective that with the current H1, we mentioned that in our H1 we do have some lower run rate for the overseas subsidiaries, which is kind of a compared to the previous run rate. As the run rate picks up, will the existing expenses be targeted to achieve to the level of the 500 crores, and that 500 crore doesn't occupy 100% of the capacity? His question was that goes to 80%-85% of the capacity. So taking that the 100% potential, it can go up to the 550-600 with the existing one without any further infusion.
Understood. So just to paraphrase, you can hit this 600 crore odd number in the next 2 years potentially with your current employee cost, which is around 112 crores for first half, so let's call it 250 for the year, and then 250 growing at inflation-linked 8%-12% without any incremental employee hires. Correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we are to certain extent protected with the inflation percentage you mentioned. So means when for the overseas, where the inflation is not that high, and as you know, we have a
Understood. Yeah. So it'll be lower than 8%.
Yeah. Lower than, yeah.
Excellent. Last question is, your effective tax rates are  18%-19%. Is this due to tax rebates, and is that likely to continue? 18%
you are referring, that is for the consolidated.
I'm talking more consolidated.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I will take up your question. I will answer it into the two parts. The effective tax rate percentage for standalone business is 26%, which is as per the slab. For the consolidated, it is lower, as we said, that for the U.K. entity when we acquired, they had some earlier accumulated losses, which saves the tax liability. When you do at the consolidated revenue level, it reduces. Whatever the profit we are generating from the overseas one, they are not liable to tax liability because of the accumulated losses.
Fantastic. Clear. And the last question is, you mentioned this 260 crore order bid book, of which 31 crores are executed, 230 crores, Bala, you said by next June. So let's say 180 odd crores by the year end, 2026. Plus you will have your incremental regular business. This is just the order book business, right? So you should be in a position to target 450+ crore top line in 2026?
We are anticipating lending, as I said, in the range of the 400-450, but internally we target 450+ only as we had the original target in the start of the year. There is some softness into the H1 to the earlier run rate. That's how we look at that. There can be some downsizing from the original target of the 500. We look forward for that. We should fall within that, very close to that range.
Understood. And what is the current bid pipeline value apart from the order book of 230 crores?
There is a very sizable amount. We also share one press release on April. So we are sitting at a very high bidding value that goes to the bigger size of the $40 million. Keeping the finger crossed.
480 crores, yeah.
Yeah. And keeping the finger crossed, if we got the winning into that, then the number can be changed materially. But it depends because they have that all bidding will not be unfold within next 1 month or in a period. It has a different scheduling. You are at a very initial stage advantages like that.
Great. Thank you very much to all of you. All the best.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vilas.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chandresh Singh from Trident Growth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, first of all. So my question is, on the competitive industry and other than
There is some echo of your voice. Not sure if you can use the handset. There's some echo back.
Okay. Just a second, sir. Am I audible now?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is, for the modular UST and other tech-linked investments, what efficiency metrics are we targeting by 2022?
Sorry to interrupt, Chandresh Singh. You sound muffled. There is some disturbance from your end. Mr. Singh, are you there?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yeah, sir, my question is, for the modular USD and other tech-linked investments, what outcomes or efficiency metrics are you targeting by June 2026?
Sure, sir. In terms of modular USD pipeline, this is something, this is phase two of technology integration. This would allow us more of an India team collaborate more seamlessly, that is to access formal assets and complex digital assets from London workstations. So it would help the teams from multi-sites to work on a common platform, and it would make things much easier, and it would also help the transition of work moving from London, Paris to India. So that is why where we started our Bangalore operation also from October onwards, to make sure that we have our second phase of the technology integration aligned to our team in Bangalore for the higher end CG works. And this would really help 15 to 20% of savings internally, even with London as well as India overall as a group, and also will help transition of more work from London, Paris to India for INCG.
Okay. Sir, my last question would be under Vision 2026 and 2027, what milestones are you aiming for in terms of scale, margins, and global reach?
In 26-27, for next year, we've been looking at one is actively working on towards diversification. In terms of diversification, we are looking at North American market for our acquisition. So that is where we've been focusing on. Building our market in North America, and also to apart from iron filament TV, we are also looking to diversify into advertisement and commercial experience. And so these are the inorganic areas that we've been working on. Apart from that, organically we are looking at roughly between 25 to 30% of growth. That we will take care of some organic growth. Based upon our new ideas going to either be global business development and also high level creative directors who we have recently hired, and so which will help us to pick up on more ambitious IM projects, so which we would be able to get 30% of growth for this year. Without developing it.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side. Yeah.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Sakhi Panjara for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Basic Care Studio Limited. If you have any queries, please write to us at research@careeradvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call. Thank you, Bala sir. Thank you, Yoga ma'am. Thank you, Bharat sir. Have a good day.
Thank you everyone. Have a good day.
On behalf of Kiran Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.